Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 11th of February. I'm your host, Paul White. I want to encourage you to check out our studies in John. It's Tuesday, which means we're doing that tonight in North Georgia. Here in Flowery Branch, we meet every Tuesday evening and study the book of John. We post that on Wednesday, so take a look tomorrow wherever you get your videos or your podcasts from our ministry. We'll be posting the 76th lesson in our studies in the book of John. We are in the 12th chapter, and what an amazing journey it has been. I encourage you, jump in. We've got people watching this series from all over the world. I hear nearly every week from someone who is at a certain point in the lesson. I received notice from someone in the middle of the country last week who meets with a group. They can't meet every week, so they're way behind. They're in the 40s on the lessons, but they meet when they can and watch the next one and then the next one. And so we have people doing that literally all over the globe. So go to PWM at YouTube. That's our channel, PWM. Subscribe. There's a playlist there that is the studies in John, and you can watch all of those. And if you can't find it there, just search studies in John, put my name in, and then go from number one and just have a ball, because it is quite a journey that we are on. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we're moving out of 20. I've been in 20 for days now. Let's take a look at 21. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who has also sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. A lot of good stuff in 21, 22. I want to concentrate today. Well, first of all, let's just say it's he who establishes us with you in Christ. So my establishment, your establishment, is in Christ. We're not being established. The work's finished. We are established as sons and daughters of God in who Christ is and in what Christ has accomplished. Now, you have to ask yourself in 21 if Paul's talking about himself or the collective body of Christ, because it looks like a distinction at first. He who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God. So it kind of looks like he's saying, you and I are established together in Christ and I'm anointed. The problem with that is verse 22. He keeps the word, the pronoun us, going, and it becomes rather obvious that he means to include the Corinthians. Because put 21 and 22 together, go into 21 with the assumption that Paul's talking about two different things, Corinth and himself, and then when you get in 22, that won't make sense. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Notice how when you get into 22 and you talk about the sealing and the gift of the Spirit in their hearts as a guarantee, it doesn't make sense for Paul to be claiming that for himself rather than claiming that for Corinth and himself established together. So I think the best way to frame 21-22 is to say, you and I have been established in Christ, and he's anointed us and sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Now, if that be the case, then there are some pretty important features of your establishment in Christ. When you get cut through the mess of theology, I mean, mess might be the wrong word, but let's be honest, there's a lot of theological stuff out there. There's a lot of terms, concepts, ideas, and just when you think you're getting a grasp on something, you're going to hear something else. And that's okay. We're on a journey, and we're learning, and there's a lot to learn. But fortunately, Christianity isn't based upon how much you learn. It's faith in Christ. It's trusting that Christ is he who establishes you. So once we sort of cut through all of the mess and we start to admit that we're established, there's a few things here that become pretty important to get our minds around that sort of run opposite of the way we've been taught. Starting with the first one, he has anointed us. The reason why I say it's a little tough to get your mind around that is because Paul presents it in the past tense. Paul tells you that we're established together, Corinth and me. He says, you and Corinth, you guys and I are established together in Christ, and we are anointed. He cannot possibly know the lifestyle of every person in the Corinthian church. And based upon what we've read from 1 Corinthians, the lifestyle of every person in the Corinthian church is not necessarily stellar. He can't know how much power each person is walking in. He can't know the gifts that each person are living out, the ministries that they're involved in, or the activities of the Holy Spirit in their life. He can't possibly know that on an individual level. And yet he claims that the Corinthians and himself are both anointed, past tense, done deal. Which tells me that Paul's definition of what it means to be anointed is not these specific acts of doing powerful things in the Spirit, but it is a present possession that is part of your established inheritance of who you are in Christ. And that's why I think we got to cut through sort of the mess of what we've been taught about what it means to be anointed and get down to the core. If the Corinthian people and Paul are anointed and it's a past tense deal and it is a done deal because they're established in Christ, then and remember, this comes on the heels of all the promises of God are in Christ, so they're yes and they're amen. Then the next two verses, we're established in Christ and he's anointed us, which tells me that the anointing is a promise that comes on me through Christ. It's not the result of me living right. It's not the result of fasting, giving, reading, commitment, evangelism, asceticism, whatever. It's not because I, quote unquote, paid the price. It's not because God likes me more than you. It's not, none of this stuff applies. That's why it comes on the heels of all the promises of God are in Christ, so they're yes and they're amen. So my anointing, and the anointing is the smearing over of the Spirit. To anoint is to smear, literally, in the Greek. And that's why Jesus anoints the man's eyes with clay. What's that mean? John 9. Well, it means he smears them over with the mud. Remember, he spits on the ground and makes mud. He smears them over. Noah anointed the ark with pitch. He smeared the ark with pitch. You've been smeared over by the Holy Spirit. That's what the anointing is. Now, it manifests itself in different ways, granted. And I think we learn our gifts, our activity, and our ministry. And as we learn it, we see the anointing manifest in what we do. We see the smearing of the Holy Spirit come out. But don't claim that the smearing of the Holy Spirit has anything to do with your power, with your authority, with your tenaciousness, with your veracity, with your dedication or your devotion. No, because the moment you do that, then the anointing is not a promise of God that's been smeared on you through Christ. The anointing is a payment to God, from God, for all the things you've done to show yourself worthy. And we need to dispense of this mess, that the anointing is something that we receive or do because of our ability. John says this in 1 John 2:20, you have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things. And technically in the Greek, it sounds more like this. You have an anointing from the Holy One and you all know it. So there's this identifier in your spirit that you know that the work is not your work, that the work is actually the work of the Holy Spirit. We're going to get more into 22 tomorrow and some of the things he's established us in. I'll see you then. God bless.